No matter what you go through in life, you can always say the best is yet to come for the Christian. For the believer of God, the best is yet to come. Amen? Elder Keith has on his voicemail. When you call him, he has on his voicemail this slogan: good news is on the way. May it be yours. Did I get it right? Good news is on the way. So when you hear me, this is Keith, and call me back. I'll call you back whenever I can. And remember, good news is on the way. May it be yours. May you get some good news, and you're going to get some good news today. I'll share the bad, and I'll bring it up, bag it up, and wipe it away with the good news. Amen? Romans chapter number 5, verse 19. I'm always amazed at how the Lord makes it clear to me that salvation is all about Him. That our salvation is of the Lord. And it only makes sense that our salvation is of the Lord because our sins. We didn't ask for our sins. I know I never had I don't remember being a part of what the scripture in Acts called the determinate council. I don't remember being a part of that council, because I probably would have voted. Oh, you mean I'm going to have sin on me? And I'm going to have to bear the sins of Adam and my forefathers and all that? Oh, no, I don't want that. Since Adam sinned, let him have it. He and Eve, ain't what they got to do with me. But do you understand, when it came to sin, you did not have a choice. We were born in sin. And shapen in iniquity. We were born with a proclivity. It was a package deal. I came in the world. My parents brought me. God used them to bring me into the world. And I came here with their genes and some of their DNA. And not only with their genes and their DNA, I came into this world with their sin nature. You don't have to teach us to do bad. Just let us go. Let's assume God is the right hand. You know, he always talks about the right hand of his arm and the right this. And we say there's the right way. Well, interestingly enough, if God is the right way, you don't have to teach me to go left and go the opposite way of God. All you got to do is let me go. And I'm going to find some kind of sin. And better yet, some kind of sin is going to find me. Amen? So Romans 5:19 says, for as by one man's, is that King or New Living? I thought I recognized the King. Verse 19. Because one person disobeyed God, many became what? Sinners. Who was the one person? Adam. Now it says many there, but the truth of it is all. All men, because one person disobeyed, all men and women, boys and girls, became sinners. Now I ask you, how much work did I have to do to become a sinner? I mean, I'm talking about for the sin nature to become a part of my life. What did I have to do? I didn't even have a choice in being born. Here's the point that I hope you will take. The bad news is by one man's disobedience. Since one person disobeyed, we all became sinners. We didn't have to do anything. We didn't have to think anything. We didn't have to think anything bad. We didn't have to say anything bad. We didn't get a vote in it. We came here with sin attached to us. So why do we make it so hard to get free of sin? And why do we think we have to do so much to get free of sin? Why is it that when I do something wrong and it becomes public, people say, and you're supposed to be a Christian? No, I ain't supposed to be a Christian. I am a Christian. And I am saved and I am born again, not because of any good works that I have done or ever will do. I am a Christian who is forgiven and imperfect, but on my way to perfection in every sense of the word. I'm on my way to perfection. I've been made perfect in my spirit. I am being made sanctified and holy in my mind. And when Jesus comes back, he's going to transform my body and give me a perfect body. And he's going to get all the glory. And he'll let me do some good works down here. He'll let me preach for him. Let me sing for him. Let me dance for him. Let me live for him. And he'll give me a crown. And then I'm going to take all the rewards and the crowns that he gives me, and I'm going to lay them at his feet, because I will say, I don't deserve this crown. I am what I am by the grace of God. So therefore, I give you this crown. I give you this glory. Andre Crouch wrote, and if I should gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. For with his blood, he has saved me. And with his power, he raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Because one person disobeyed, bad news. Many became sinners. But because one other person, thank God for the other. Because one other person obeyed God, many what? Will be made righteous. That's Christianity. I'm a Christian because one man obeyed. I'm not a Christian because I obeyed. I'm a Christian because Jesus obeyed. Let's look at the next verse. God's law was given so that what? All people could see how what? But as people sin more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. You can't out-sin God. You can't go so far that he can't reach you. You can't go so low that he can't pick you up. You can't get so high-minded in your pride, which is sin too, that he can't bring you down where you need to be and help you understand who we really are. Because, saints, it really doesn't matter if you are down and out or up and out. You're still out. The nicest person that you know still needs grace. Still needs the blood of Jesus. The kindest person you know still needs the blood of Jesus. The kindest person you know, the most innocent baby that you know, came into this world infected, affected, infested by sin. And it didn't get any better, it got worse. Didn't it? The Bible says it got worse, it got bad, and I don't understand all of this because God knew it, but it does. The Bible says it repented God that he had made man. Now we know he didn't make any mistakes. What the scripture is communicating there is to show not that God was surprised and that he changed his mind and said, boy, I wish I hadn't made him. That's not what it's saying. Because God says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God already knew that Adam was going to sin and all of us were going to sin. He already knew that, and he knew that before he chose to even make us. As a matter of fact, the lamb was slain. The lamb had already obeyed before Adam ever disobeyed. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, and in the days of Noah, the scripture says that the people began to sin, that their sins were just so overwhelming that God decided he was going to wipe them out. And he sent the flood. And listen to what the scripture says. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now, it's not going to be anything particularly new under the sun in terms of evil. It's just going to be more of it. When it says in the King James Version, when sin abounds, or where sin abounds, grace more abounds. Where sin grew and was just piling up sin and sin and sin. That's what the world, as the world went from Adam to Noah, it got worse. And as we are coming from the time when Christ came, the world is going to get worse. And the scripture even says so much so wicked that it never been that bad before. The only way that can be is that it's going to be more frequently, greater, more sin. You think sin is running rampant now. You think mass killings are running rampant now. It's going to get worse than it's ever been. That's the bad news. It even said that if God did not stop, if he didn't shorten the days, anybody remember what he said? If he didn't shorten the days, it's going to get so bad. If he did not stop time and stop the calendar from going on, it says no flesh would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, the chosen ones, he's going to shorten those days. He's going to say, it is enough. It's over. Next verse. Just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to what? Now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God. Can you imagine that? Just as you are today, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you stand righteous and you are in right standing with the Lord. Right standing, perfect in his sight. You don't have to do anything else for him to love you. Right standing with God. And resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Not even death. Job chapter 19, New Living Translation. Job 19, 25 through 27. If you'll go to I want 25 through 27, but I want verse 26 first. This is the bad news. And after my body has decayed, and by the way, the scripture says, listen to this, that our outward man is what? Perishing. I mean, I don't mean to be insensitive. But our outward man, which means our what? Our bodies are doing what? Decaying. What was the other word y'all used? Perishing. What's the plain word? Dying. In terms of this body, we're walking dead men. In terms of our spirits have been made alive to God, and we have eternal life. That's a paradox. We have eternal life and existing within us. So the Bible says, even though this outward body is decaying and dying, our minds are being renewed day by day. God is at work. And even though somebody can hurt my body, and my body is decaying, it could be disease that takes me out. Someone can hurt me and take me out. I can be in an accident. Airplane, car, And then my body will go into the ground. And my body will decay. But this is what you call, believe it or not, a resurrection scripture. This is a resurrection promise. How is it a promise? Because look at what it says. After my body has decayed, after the worms has eaten up my body, if I'm blown up in an airplane and there is no parts of me, they couldn't find any of my remains. Or if I pass on because of a heart attack or whatever, and my family chooses, or I told them cremate me. Some people are like, cremation? I don't know about that, because Jesus wasn't cremated, so I don't think I need to be cremated. It just don't mix with me. Well, see, the fact of the matter is some people are cremated in airplanes. Some people burn up in cars. They're cremated in cars. But it doesn't matter how you left. It doesn't matter what happens to your body. Look at the promise of resurrection. He says, yet, not in my spirit only. Yeah, see, to be absent from the body means to be in the presence of the Lord. And oh yeah, I know I'm going to see you in the spirit. That's what Martha said. Jesus said, Martha, why are you crying? Didn't I tell you you're going to see your brother again? I know you said that, Master. I know you said I would see him in the resurrection. He said, no, girl, the resurrection is not something all up in the future away from here, but I am the resurrection, and wherever I am, dead's got to get up. Dead stuff got to get up, and death has to loose its hold because I'm life. Resurrection is not a thing. Resurrection is a person. I am the resurrection. So the Bible says when Jesus was on the cross and after he had been crucified, I don't even know how it happened, but when he had given up the ghost and went in the grave, it said some people who were already in the grave got up. Grave said, oh, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords is going to lay here for a few days. Y'all get up and make some room. Get up and make some room for the King of Kings. And said the people, the bodies of saints, begin to walk through the city of Jerusalem. Wasn't that a picture of what is about to happen? He dies, they get up. And after my body has decayed, yet not in my spirit, but in my body, I will see God with those same natural eyes that close. I will see God. I'm getting up. Now go to verse 25. See, that's the bad news and all that. Then the good news. But he went on to say that there was bad news and good news in there. Remember, it said my body is decaying and all that, but it said I'm going to see him. That's the good news. Here's the other part of the good news. But as for me, I know my Redeemer lives. And see, what that says is, if my Redeemer lives, if he's my Redeemer, that means he bought something and he told the people to hold it for him, but he has the receipt. He's already paid for it. Anybody ever went to the store, bought something, and you didn't have your truck with you, and you didn't want them to pay you that, charge you that extra money to deliver it, but you told them to hold your purchase until you go get the necessary tools, the necessary vehicle to go redeem what's yours. He said, I know my Redeemer lives. And if he's my Redeemer, he's coming back to redeem me, to get me. And he will stand upon the earth at last. Verse 26 now. And as for my body, after my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God. Next verse. I will see him for myself. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. I am overwhelmed at the thought. In other words, Job said, that's something to shout about. Wow. You don't have to go here. I just want to quote it just so you can write it down, though. John chapter number 5, verse 28 says, don't be so surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, looking at verse number 47 and a few of the following. First Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 47 says, Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth. While Christ, the second man, came from what? Heaven. Earthly people are like the earthly man. And heavenly people are like the heavenly man. And see, guys, right now we're like the earthly man, but we're going to be completely like the heavenly man. Just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. That means we're going to have the same heavenly, brand new, glorified body like he has. What am I saying, dear brothers and sisters? Is it that our physical bodies, cannot inherit the kingdom of God? This, what we got here, is not good enough for heaven. It's decaying. So God's going to do a new thing. Read on. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. Because these bodies won't last forever. So he's got to give us a forever body. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die. But we will all be transformed. Some will die, be raised and be transformed. Some of us will be alive when Jesus comes, and we too are going to be transformed. Next verse. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye. When the last trumpet is blown, for when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will what? And our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? You hurt us. You hurt us for a period of time. You've had a time to hurt us, but you're going to lose the victory, and you're going to lose your sting, and it won't hurt anymore. Oh, death, where is your victory? Jesus got it. Oh, death, where is your sting? Jesus took it out. Next verse. For sin is the sting that results in death, and law gives sin. The law gives sin its what? Its power. Oh, I just got a few more. They just blessed me, so get ready to be blessed. But thanks be to God. He gives us victory. It doesn't come from us ourselves. Our victory comes because we place our faith in Jesus Christ, because God is the only one can give you the victory. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. We're not just conquerors on our own. We're more than conquerors because Jesus Christ gave us the ability to conquer. Yeah, let's go right where we were. Let's just finish that. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Sister Knighton is an awesome example of strength. I heard this joke that reminded me of this morning. That was this man and his wife and mother live with him, and they were getting ready to go to church, and he was laying in the bed. He kept a cover on his head, and he didn't want to get out of bed. And they said, but you got to go to church. You got to get up and go to church. And he said, give me one good reason why I ought to get up out of my bed. I'm tired. I don't want to go to church. He said, because you're the pastor. That's why you need to get up and come on, go to church. And I said, Sister Knighton is a picture and an example of strength, because, come on, guys, most of us would have used this time and said, look, I hate to call it that, but what'd you say? I'm going to say good. Where the preacher at the back there that said that? Say it again, Reverend. And many of us will use that excuse and say, I ain't going to church. Not only did she come to church last Sunday, she had the nerve to be at choir rehearsal the Thursday before the funeral. She had the nerve. And so she wouldn't answer my call. She said, because I know y'all trying to keep me from coming to church. And then she went to the doctor, and they gave her some sleeping pills. She takes half of it. And why would you take half of it? He prescribed you a whole pill. She said, I know what y'all trying to do. Y'all trying to make me get so sleepy that I don't come to church. I'm going to be at church. She said, I'm going to be at church. I'm going to be at choir rehearsal. I'm sorry. I'm not one of those, when trouble comes my way, I want to lay down. No, I need to keep moving.
Keep moving. Be steadfast, unmovable, always working enthusiastically for the Lord. In essence, she said, I was singing in the choir and doing things at church before my son came, and I'm going to be doing it when he leaves. And my plan is to keep doing the work of the Lord until he gets back. So, saints, we are admonished to be ye steadfast. See, that's when you can understand a person is doing what they do for the Lord. Because, Sister Knighton, if anybody got a reason to leave Bountiful and just be done with Stephen Christian, she has caught the worst of me and has seen me and heard me at my worst. And I'll go back and apologize, and she'll say, oh, I know you. She said, I know you, I know you, and I know God called me here to this church, and I know you, and that doesn't bother me. I know you. She said, I recognize my son when I saw you, ADHD, OCD, MLOP, XYZ. You got them all, Pastor. But for some reason, she never let me offend her to the point that she stopped coming to church. I didn't even say this yesterday, but Chris was one of our charter members. He was with his mother and dad when we started Bountiful Blessings more than almost 30 years ago in my, how many bedrooms did we have over there? Two. Bedroom apartment. Sister Knighton, Sister Little, her husband, and Chris, and Sister Christian, and Stacy, and me. It was seven of us who were charter members. Now, there were 20 folk in attendance in my little apartment. But there were seven who joined the first day. And Sister Knighton and Chris were one of our first members. Amen? Now, surely you know I've gotten on her nerve a whole lot. I've hurt her feelings, but she has this duck, what you call it? What is that stuff? What you call it? It's like water running off a duck's back. She got that smooth, you just, oh, did you offend me? Well, good. I ain't going to even give you the power of letting you know that you offended me. She knows how to deflect. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the Lord, for you know, always work. Go back. I like that word. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically. Not just work, but work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Let me just say how good our men, our deacons looked yesterday. Soldiers, thank God. Just a little bit more here. Second Corinthians chapter number 4, verse 8. First in the King James Version, Sister Kayla. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse 8 and 9. And the King, and then we'll flip over to the New Living Translation. I made a statement yesterday at the funeral, talked about a statistic, some statistics and a survey that actually says that more than half of Americans will have some kind of mental disease in their lifetime. More than half. And that's of only those situations that are reported. That's not including those who never admit, because nobody wants to admit I have some kind of mental defect. I mean, if I got a bad leg, ain't nothing I can say. I'd hide that from you if I could. But I sure don't want to tell nobody that I got any kind of defect, because in our minds we want to be perfect. And we really want people to see us as perfect, but we are not perfect. Not in our bodies and not in our minds. We've only been made perfect in our spirits. But it said more than half of Americans will experience some kind of mental illness. That comes from on the line, ADHD, ADD, depression, schizophrenia, bipolar, psychosis, come on, anxiety, panic attacks, antisocial disease. I mean, there are some people, they get fearful and have anxiety when they come around too many folk. PTSD. Yes, sir. You think we didn't know you had PTSD? Brother, take one to know one. Amen. OCD. Oh, yeah. I told you I got all numbers. Y'all, I haven't been in the United States Army, but I've been in the Lord's Army. And don't you tell me I haven't been I've been fired upon. I've been on the front line for 30 years. Fire from the enemy. Fire from my friends. Fire from my family. Don't tell me I ain't got PTSD. God gonna have to, I better leave that alone before I fool around and say the wrong words. Them wrong leathers. I've said it before. Yes, yes, this boy got STD. Sure, I said it. Messed it all up. The Bible says you don't talk too much, because if you keep talking, you can start getting stuff wrong, and actually says you start lying. That's how lies get started, talking too much. You got to know when to hush. But saints, I was thinking about that. How is it that so many people could have mental problems and defects and be going through in their minds? And he said, it's simple. That's where the battle is. If the battle is in the mind, and that's where the enemy is fighting you, where do you think you're going to get hurt? In the mind. And the Bible says men's hearts, you can use the word minds. Men's hearts, maybe it could be their physical hearts, but it could also be their minds. Men's minds shall fail them, and their hearts shall fail them because of the trouble that's taking place in the heavens and on the earth.
That's why I said the love of many, because sin abounds so much. We know grace abounds, but the way all this trouble and sin affects us, it says, because iniquity shall abound and be so much, the love of many shall wax cold. That's your God, your heart and your mind. Your love will wax cold. Meaning, you will get to a place of apathy. You don't care anymore. You're indifferent. You're cynical. You hate everything and everybody. You trust nobody. And I don't mean you need to put your trust in man, but you got to know there's a balance there. You don't only trust God, but you got to trust God that everybody ain't out to get you. We are troubled on what? Yet not distressed. Now, I believe this is Paul is speaking the word of God and speaking the way it's supposed to be. You have to understand, he's speaking for himself. He's speaking about the fact that God has kept him through so much stuff. Because we said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. And I feel guilty because I'm troubled on every side and distressed. I mean, am I the only one get stressed out? Troubled on every side? But see, Paul was giving his testimony. Thank God for waking me up this morning, keeping me in my right mind. I'm troubled on every side, but yet not distressed. But most of us can't say that. We are troubled on every side, and we get so troubled till we get all stressed out, and we stop confessing the word of God, and we start cursing. Lord, when it rains, it pours. No! I can't even say what y'all say. But this is supposed to be our testimony. We are troubled on every side, yet what? That's because we cast our cares on the Lord and we don't take it. We don't hold on to it. We are perplexed, but not what? Read on. Persecuted, but what? Cast down, but what? Look at it in the New Living Translation. Those two verses. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Here it is. We are pressed on every side by what? But we are not crushed. Okay, now I'm distressed. I am crushed. Okay, I ain't crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to what? Next part. By the devil, we are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Bad news, trouble on every side, but we are not crushed. We get knocked down, bad news, but the good news, we are not destroyed, and we will not be destroyed. We are more than conquerors. It is because of the Lord's mercies that we have not been consumed, because his compassion, they fail not. They are new, what? And together we say, great is thy faithfulness. Let's remember the Lord.